I want to remind you again tonight of Dogs and Horses on the 12th, and we'd like to have you and come and be a part of that. Sometimes, most of the time, we have folks involved in that are not involved in church, and they come, and so we'd like for folks to be there to talk to them and share Christ, and really just share their lives. And sometimes people get the wrong idea about church. They think we all drank a lot of sour pickle juice right before we go out, and no such thing as having a good time. But I hope you come, and we'll have dogs and horses. We'll have hot dogs, and folks are going to bring chili, and we'll have a campfire. We've got one old Indian that's going to build a fire and rubbing sticks together, right? No, maybe. Don't use gas. But anyway, come on, and we'll announce this again next Sunday. I'm looking for some, maybe you guys can help me, but I'm looking for some video clips that when we make the announcement on Sunday morning to show behind me when I'm inviting folks to come of kids being bucked off horses. If you come up with some of that, we'll have us a good time with that. You have a word testimony you'd like to share tonight? Anyone? Give you an opportunity. I want to pray for Miss Charlene Clark. Also, Wes, go ahead.
Church tomorrow. They're Sunday school teachers. They're song leaders. When I look at them, I see preachers in them. We don't even know. They may be another Billy Graham right here.
Amen. That's right.
We need to keep working with these kids. It's a blessing to see them.
Amen. That's right. I know that was real good. I couldn't hear it.
She's asking for prayer for the little boy that she helped lead to Christ this week at
school. Oh, okay. I thought that's what you said. I want to make sure. That's great. That's great. At recess, Charity was looking for verses last week to share with him. That's great. Mick? Amen. Thank you, Meg. Teresa, it's good to have you guys with us. We're looking forward to a long ministry. Anyone else? Okay. And by the way, I want you to take ownership on the dogs and horses and invite folks to come. It's at our house, but it's your deal too. So we want you to feel free to invite people to come, and we want everyone to come, but we want folks outside the church to come, and we hope that we can get people involved in that. So I hope you'll be able to be a part of that. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew. Mike, how's Miss Bright doing? What's the latest on? Okay. We'll keep that family lifted up, and I appreciate you lifting up my sister's family, Nora and Harvey Williams, and they're in the throes of the end of time there, and having a very difficult time with it. I hope y'all will remember them, keep them lifted up. Let's read a few verses here from Matthew 24, and starting with verse 8, let's stand together. And I want to clarify something that my wife brought to my attention this morning that she thought I was unclear on. The abomination of desolation, she was asking me, she thought that I said, and I could have, that that had to take place before the rapture of the church. And that's, if I said that, I didn't mean to say that. I think that that's going to take place during the tribulation period. I didn't mean to mislead you on that, if that's what you understood. So anyway, in my opinion, it takes place during the tribulation period. And there's a great deal of this, and I certainly do not try to put myself forward as any kind of an expert on it in any way. But I think that if we preach the whole counsel of God, that we have to preach the events that take place in the end times. And so for you to know and for you to teach your children and prepare your children, because the Bible has told us that we're not to be in the dark on this as the world is. We're supposed to know as these events take place what's going on. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 8. All these are the beginning of the sorrows. Now, Jesus is teaching here. And I said this morning that that I believe that it some of these things that the Lord said in this Olivet Discourse took place are taking place prior to the rapture of the church, some of them during the time of the tribulation, and then also an announcement of the glorious appearing. And so I think that we have all three of those events in this discourse as we look at chapter 24. All these are the beginning of the sorrows. And that word sorrows, the beginning of the sorrows, is another reference to the birth pains. As a woman would give birth, The birth pains come rather lightly, and then they increase as the child gets closer to being born. The birth pains become stronger. I know a real funny little story that I got involved in a hospital visit one time in that. I'll let that go. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now I think that we have two different people that he's talking about here. One, he's talking about the nation of Israel. Secondly, I think he's talking about Christians. And we are seeing this more and more and more as Christians are becoming the target of hatred And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And many of us that are a little older have been able to see that all through our lives, the false prophets that have come up. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The word iniquity here is sin, because sin is going to increase and it's going to be on the rise. And iniquity is going to be on the rise and shall abound, and the love of many will wax cold. And I think that we're seeing that take place before our very eyes. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And some folks would take that verse and think that that means that, well, if you don't endure, then that means that you lost your salvation. No, what it literally means, it's proof of salvation, that you really have the stuff. You're going to endure if you really have the stuff. Folks that are not saved will not be able to endure. I mean, you have to look at the passage on the seed and the sower to understand what he's talking about here. And this gospel, this good news of the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and you'll find that in Daniel 9. And Mark also talks about it, Mark 13:14, the Lord talks about this same passage. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, and neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And I think that he moves to a tribulation time there. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Now I think that we're getting into the nitty-gritty of this right now, but I want us to look closely at this verse 22, and I want to tell you what I think that means. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe him not. For there shall also false Christ and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So he's mentioned that twice, hasn't he? He's mentioned the elect twice. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't think he's talking about the rapture. I think he's talking about his glorious appearing that's going to take place at the end of the tribulation period. And I think that those things that he mentioned prior to that are those things that he's talking about in the great tribulation. Matter of fact, he even says that it's great tribulation. Whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation, there it is, of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear. And this is where we get mixed up a lot of the time. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. You can be seated. one of the things that I wanted to bring to our attention is that the Lord, three times in this Olivet Discourse, He mentions the elect, the elect. And I think that we have to go back to the Old Testament to understand the meaning of that, because I think that some folks have mistranslated Scripture, and some very, God said a lot sharper than I'll tell you for sure, that I think are wrong on their translation. And that is to believe in that some people are elected to go to hell and some people are elected to go to heaven. I think that the way that you and I have to look at election, what the Bible teaches about election, is that He's talking about the nation of Israel. He's not talking about the saved and the lost here. I think He's talking about the nation of Israel. And no one has a problem with understanding that the nation of Israel is the elect nation of God. God chose them out. And through the Old Testament, through the prophets, through the Psalms, He talks about Israel being His chosen nation. He didn't choose them because they're bigger than everybody else or smarter than everybody else. He just talks about that they're His chosen people. When Sarah was getting ready to give birth to Jacob and Esau, the Lord told her, there's two nations in your womb. There's two nations. And then later on, we hear God say, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Well, that is not, those words are not the same kind of terms that you and I are accustomed to. Because we think, matter of fact, most families don't allow their children to use that word, hate. I hate you. He's not talking about that. He's talking about that one is chosen over the other, and He's talking about two nations. He says there's two nations in you. And so to me, you cannot interpret the doctrine of election outside of the nation of Israel. When you try to do that, you get in all kinds of trouble. And so that's the reason I wanted you to see that He's mentioning that. And I think that when He says He gathers His elect, I think He's talking about the children of Israel at the end of the tribulation period. So He's talking about these birth pains. All of these things, verse 8, all of these things are the beginning. And the NIV uses that term, birth pains. Religious deception. And we're seeing that in our day over and over and over again. I've come to a place that I don't even watch the religious channel because of that. Now, I watch Billy Graham some, and I watch some that I know that can be trusted. But there is so much religious deception out there that it is just unreal, and it's going on in our day. Well, there is so much, people are so easily deceived, and they see what they want to, they believe what they want to believe, and they're easily deceived. And so this religious deception is going on even in our day. Internal revolution is taking place. Yeah, international revolution is taking place. Excuse me, it's internal too. But this international revolution all over the world, you can turn on the TV or pick up the newspaper, and there's a war over here and another one over there, and there's just all kinds of unrest all over the world, whether it's in China or Russia or in the Middle East, and wars going on all over the world. There are folks that have known nothing else. They've been raised in the midst of war, and they've known nothing else. I came along right at the end of World War II, and I knew about Vietnam. I was in high school when Vietnam took place. I knew, and that was on the news constantly. And so war was in our midst during that time, but war constantly and famines. I read a book of, I don't know, time passes so fast, I don't know if it was months ago or years ago, but I believe that the name of it was The Insanity of God, and I don't know whether to recommend it or not. It was hard. I got on to the woman that gave it to me. I said, quit giving me that stuff. It really puts me on edge. It puts me to thinking in terms that I've never seen before. But in some of these war-torn countries, and it defined a scene where these little children were outside this compound, and they were throwing their leftovers over the wall, and these children, like dogs, were rushing to the foot of that wall to get raw meat or any kind of leftovers that they could possibly get, and would grab those bones that were just raw meat and try to get what they could by chewing on those bones. The world is filled with famines, and people are starving to death all over the world. Earthquakes all over the world. We wouldn't have to watch TV very long. Plagues, strange events in the skies. And I didn't go back and research that any. I believe that that's going to take place during the tribulation time, toward the end of the tribulation time. But it may be taking place right now. I didn't do any research on that. There's a couple of passages that I want us to read where it talks about where in these birth pains, it talks about the coming apostasy of the last days. People walking away from God. Folks substituting things for Christianity, substituting things for the church. I was visiting in a home, it's been several years ago now, this family had a caregiver, and I began to ask this caregiver about her relationship with Christ, and she began to tell me in detail what she believed, I have to be careful. I think out loud, and sometimes that'll get you in trouble. And I was thinking out loud, and I said, that sounds like New Age. And she said, not New Age, Old Age. She said, this has been around forever. And probably it has. But saving the whales and killing the babies, saving the trees and throwing kids away. That's what's going on in the day in which you and I live. I was in a place of business, and a lady that was one of the secretaries there she found out that I had horses and cows, and she wanted me to, if I ever had one sick, or one that I was going to shoot, she didn't want me to shoot it. She wanted me to call her so she could come and get it and rescue it. And she had a strange mindset about that. And I talked to her a little bit about that, and the thought came to my mind. I said, how do you feel about humans? And she said, not the same. It's not the same. And so we rescue a horse, but we kill a human. We rescue a cow or a calf, but we kill a human. She had a strange... And this has to do with this apostasy of the last days. It's where our nation is going. It's where our society is going. And that's the reason that the church has to take such a deliberate, strong stand on Christianity and the doctrine of the Bible, and what we believe is the truth. And so I have to be able to share the truth. I was in that business, and this lady's desk kind of out in the front there, and I'm not using names because you know who I was talking about, but anyway, the business owner came out, and he said, "What have you been doing?" I said, "I've been sitting on the back deck shooting hummingbirds off the deck with my BB gun." So that lady could hear me, and boy, she went into there. I said, "No, I've not been doing that." I was picturing these little hummingbirds. Let's look at these two passages. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 3rd verse. Excuse me? Well, we're going to go back to Timothy, but I want us to look first at 2 Peter 3:3. And that, Timothy's up there, but we're going to look first at 2 Peter, if I can get to it. 2 Peter 3:3. Know this first. I read this morning. I used this passage this morning when we talked about they weren't expecting the Lord to come back. And well, he's not come back in 2,000 years. Surely he's not coming back. But here, as Peter makes a prophecy here in this epistle, and he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. And this is what I believe the last days are. I believe the last days are all the days from the cross to the rapture of the church. I believe that's the last days. Well, I guess you could put the tribulation period in there, but we're going to be gone. We're not going to be a part of the tribulation period. It's from the cross to the rapture of the church, which takes in about 2,000 years. But he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Now what? What is a scoffer? When the Bible uses this word scoffer, what does it mean to scoff at something? It means that you're laughing at that. You're scoffing at that. You're saying, that's nothing. That's nothing. I'm above that. You're silly to believe that. You're silly if you go to church. You're silly if you believe in Christ. If you believe in purity. If you believe in what's right. If you believe in doing what's right, then there's going to be those of the last days that'll scoff at you. And what has happened in the day in which you and I live is that these scoffers of the last days have become a great voice now. I mean, they have the voice of the media. They have the voice of the school teacher. They have the voice of the college professor. They have the voice of the boss at work. And I'm not saying everybody's that way. There's lots of good, godly school teachers. Godly. Love the Lord. There's a lot of good, godly college professors that love the Lord. There's a lot of good, godly bosses that love the Lord. I'm not saying they're all that way. But this group has gained momentum. They have gained a position and a voice. And it's because of the prophecy of the last days. Now look with me. I'm going to need to move on here. At 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, he gives a great big list in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And there are 19 identifying positions in these verses of 2 Timothy. These are the scoffers. And so he didn't just say there's going to be scoffers in the last days. So Timothy, when Paul is writing to Timothy, he's identifying those scoffers. And when you read this, you see it all over. You see it in the news. You see it with people that you work with. You hear conversations of things that are going on. And this is what he says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Dangerous times. As I was reading Matthew 24, I think that it do you good just read through that and read through it. And I don't know which time I was reading it that the Lord said, "Don't worry, not a hair of your head's going to be hurt." And he just got through telling us that you're going to be killed and you're going to be... And I thought, now how in the world they kill you, not hurt the hair of your head? But he's talking about eternally. He's talking about eternally, that we have the Lord with us. I mean, you know, the Lord said, don't fear people that's able to kill the body and don't have anything to do with the soul. Our fear needs to be of those that has to do with the soul. And so I think that's what he was talking about. Man, the world can't hurt us. They may can kill us, but they can't hurt us. And so he gives this list. "This know also that in the last day perilous times shall come." This word perilous has to do with dangerous. It's a dangerous time. I can't imagine raising kids in this time right now. Where we're at right now, it's a tough time. It's a tough time. It's got to be a tough time to be a kid. It's tough on parents and grandparents, but man, it's tough on kids. We're living in a day that I would have never imagined that we would see in my lifetime. Maybe in some other country. Maybe someplace else, but never would I have thought that we would be able to see the things in America that you and I are seeing right now. "This know also perilous, dangerous, awful times shall come." And this is the reason. Here are the scoffers. He gives a list of 19 things. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters." And when he says men, he's using a generic term there, you understand. He's talking about all people. And I tell you, I see this in the lives of young people. I see this in the lives of kids, loving themselves. "Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And then verse 5 says, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And then he goes on and he describes some of those folks in detail. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." In Isaiah, the 66th chapter in verse 8, Isaiah said there'd be a nation born in a day. Who'd ever thought a nation could be born in a day? And in Matthew 24, 32, 35, he talks about the fig tree putting on leaves. And he says in verse 34, "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Those who study prophecy tell us that the putting on forth of the leaf is a symbol of Israel becoming a nation. And so if that is what he means, that then we have got to be right at the door of what is taking place. I read 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 5, 4 this morning, that we're not to be in darkness when those things take place. In Zechariah 14, verse 1, he talks about war over Jerusalem. And in that 14th chapter, in verse 12, he talks about this great plague. And as you read that, there is this simulance of nuclear war. Men's eyes burning out of their sockets. In 3 through 13 of Matthew 24, when the disciples said, "When will the end be?" And in verse 4 and 5, he said false prophets would come. But he says also that false Christ would come. People who claim to be Christ, the Savior. Maharaji, Sun Moon, David Moses, Jim Jones, David Koresh, the Baha religion. All those make claims of being the Christ, the Savior, the Deliverer. Verse 11 says, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Verse 24 says, "False Christ and false prophets show great signs and wonders." I want to read 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonder, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." And in many translations, or if you just get down to a real close word study in this particular verse, it's not just believe a lie, it's to believe the lie. "That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." In Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I want to close with these, with this passage. Look down at verse 15. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit." Did you get that? "A good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I'm not going to give an invitation tonight. Let's stand together. I'm just going to ask someone to dismiss us with a word of prayer. Evan Sims, would you do that for us, please?